When you say gospel, it is a big packed word. It's a lot like when you say salvation. When you say salvation, there is a lot of different components to that word. A lot like when you look into a diamond or when you shine light through a diamond. When light hits a diamond, it flashes into this array of beautiful colors, a spectrum of beauty. And salvation is like that. As we shine a light on salvation, it explodes in color and all the facets come out. And each of those different colors are the words that we've talked about. Substitutionary atonement is one that really a lot of them flow out of. And then we talked about reconciliation. We talked about propitiation. We talked about redemption. All those words are when we shine the light of God's word and truth on the gospel and salvation, all of a sudden these little facets come out. So some of them sound like they overlap a little bit. Some of them sound like they depend upon each other because they do. Some of them sound like they are almost in order, like this happens and then this can happen and then this can happen and then this can happen because they're all part of the same thing. But each different little bit of light shows us a little more of the gospel. So all the words, though they may be jumbled in your mind and though they may not fit together just right, hopefully what we're going to do in this series is take each one and put it into the puzzle, look at it, and say, how does this fit with what the Bible says salvation and the gospel is? So on the top of your sheet this week, you see we're talking about justification. Justification. What is justification and what does it mean for our life? And we have the opportunity this week to watch a video. So as you know, there's been a team, the Galkin Evangelistic team. They're part of what's going on here. They're church planting. They're helping us out here. One of the ways that they're helping us is by making videos that go along with this series. This is one of those. I think this will be a great way for us to introduce the topic, and then we'll start breaking down the different parts of it. So let's pray, ask God to give us clarity and understanding and help us to grow by what we learn. Father, your word is true and good, and I pray that you would help us to learn from it what we need to. God, I pray that this concept of justification would affect how we live. Lord, I pray that we would understand what it means that really true religion begins with the fact that we are justified. Help us to understand that and live by it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, let's watch this together.
Themselves, well, they're either guilty or they're not guilty. However, when the Bible refers to the term justification, it's not just talking about mere human government. It's talking about the eternal judge, God. Now, as far as you and I are concerned, we don't match up to God's standard. You see, God's law doesn't just deal with the externals of smiling, being polite, not getting kicked out of school, or landing in jail. It deals with things of the heart, like hatred, envy, lust, pride, things that we struggle with on a daily basis. So if we were to stand before this eternal judge, we would in a legal sense be completely guilty. Just look at the facts. We are all sinners. So what is justification? Well, it's a one-time, final act of God where he declares us to be righteous, perfect, no sin on our account. Now wait, is this just heavenly whiteout, or a sweeping under the rug, or just a plain ignorance of the facts? No, it's not. You see, God is just, meaning he's righteous and he does only right. So how does God justify a person who is guilty of committing sin in the past and will commit sin in the future? The answer is Jesus. God in flesh, God's Son. You see, Jesus came to this earth, and he lived flawlessly according to the law of God. Not one sin on his record. Jesus took my record of sin and he paid the penalty of death. And then I received Jesus' righteousness on my account. So it's not that my sin was overlooked or excused. It was paid for by blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. And it is only by faith, through grace alone, that we can be justified. So now the Father, this eternal judge, looks at my account and sees only the pure and completely righteous work of his Son, Jesus Christ. And then with full confidence and full authority, he brings the gap down and declares me completely innocent of any transgression, completely justified through the imputed, given righteousness of Jesus Christ. This is justification. Have you ever been justified? Have you ever been declared righteous on the basis of Jesus Christ's works?
So did you recognize the shots there? Those are Salt Lake Courthouse in the background. Pretty cool. Got a little taste of what justification is. So let's break that down a little bit. Let's take it and look at it and take apart some of the phrases he said and see what they mean for our life. Look at the top of your sheet. Do you remember the feelings you had as a child when you had been caught doing something wrong? Do you remember those feelings? Maybe your parents had sent you to that chair that was the waiting point. Right, it was like the space outside the courtroom before you got your final judgment. Maybe you were told to sit on the bed. Any sit on the bed people, like go sit on your bed and wait till I come and we'll talk through what you've done. You remember the feelings that went through your mind? You're thinking things like, okay, I'm going to build a defense here. Okay, this was not my fault. I didn't do it. Okay, it was my brother. They started it. My sister, she did it. It wasn't my fault. I didn't, right? What were you doing? You were seeking to justify yourself. You were seeking to declare that you were not guilty. You were seeking to say, I want to say, listen, you don't have all the facts. Let me show you the facts, right? Well, here's what the Bible actually says. The Bible actually says that before God, all of us are guilty, and there's nothing that we can do to justify ourselves. Nothing. There's only one thing that can be done. It is that God offers justification. No, we can't justify ourselves. We can't sit in the waiting room before the judge and come up with some defense that will work for us. The only hope we have before this judge by whom we are guilty is that he offers us justification. And that's what the Bible describes. So let's talk through that a little bit. Really, justification answers the most important question that we have. I mean, imagine if you lived a completely wonderful life, successful, happy, all of the pieces of the puzzle of your life fit together just right. But you were not right with God. What would that state be? I mean, you had everything right, but as a sinner before a holy and just God, you were not right. That's the question that justification answers for us. Look at this verse up on the screen. This is exactly what it says. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his own soul? What good is it? And the beauty of justification is it says that Jesus offers something for us. So let's talk about it. The first thing we got to understand is righteousness. God is righteous and we are not. So on your sheet there, righteous. We aren't, God is. Our biggest need is to get right with God's law. That is our biggest need. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world but lose his own soul? We must be right with God. So Josh in the video just told us that justification is a legal word. It deals with legal issues. It deals with guilty and not guilty. So walking through some of the words we've talked about recently, propitiation, that dealt with the temple court, right? Sacrifices to assuage the wrath of God. Last week, we talked about redemption, where we went to the marketplace, the slave market. Because of our choice to sin, we've been put in the chains of bondage to our sin. Now we move into the courtroom. We stand before the judge, and we are guilty because God is a righteous judge. What's righteousness? What's righteousness? Somebody help me out. What is righteousness? Give me a quick little word definition of what righteousness is. Always doing the right thing. Okay, you even break it down all the way down to right. You do the right thing. Okay, anything else? Any other adds to that? No sin, pure, moral, just. You do things right and you are right. That's what it means to be righteous. God is righteous. He gave the law and he is the judge for the law. So as sinners, our first and most important relationship to God is the fact that he's the lawgiver and he's the judge that we must face. So until we get right with this law that is from God, we cannot be right with the giver of the law. Right? I mean, there's a major problem. And the major problem is that we are not righteous. Listen to some of these verses. There is none righteous. No, not one. We've all broken God's law. For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Follow the progression of those three verses. There's none righteous. So what do? Do we try harder? Do we just try and keep the law? No. For by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. And God judges those who are unrighteous. We have a major, major problem because if God is just and he is good, which he is, then he cannot just throw out unrighteousness. Which brings us to our next blank. Our next blank is that our biggest difficulty is trying to get right with God ourselves. We try, but we can't. Because keeping the law is not just an external thing. Righteousness is not just what we do with our hands and what comes out of our mouth. Righteousness involves the heart too. So there was a man, his name was Martin Luther. You've probably heard of him. Here's a illustration of him if you haven't seen him before. It's a very Picasso-esque illustration, okay? But there he is, Martin Luther. Now, Martin Luther's quest was that he began to study the law of God and study the Bible, and he tried to understand it. As he tried to understand the law, the more he tried to keep it, the more he couldn't. The more he realized, I can't keep this law. He studied more and he studied more until it got to the point where someone asked him, as he was trying to keep the law of God and he couldn't, they said, Martin Luther, do you love this God? Do you love God? He was so frustrated with his inability to keep the commands of God on both the inside and the out that he said this, love God? I hate him. You see, if we don't understand what God has offered us and we just try and keep the law and try and keep the law and try and keep the law, it will leave us empty. So what we need is, we need a righteousness that comes from somewhere else, right? It's actually what people from Luther's day call a foreign righteousness, alien righteousness, a righteousness from another place. And guess what? The gospel defined tells us that Jesus offers that. That's justification. So let's define this word. Justify. Whenever you seek to justify yourself, really, you're not trying to change your argument. Okay? Justification is not changing or modifying the argument. Here's a quote by Leon Morris. When we speak of justifying an opinion or an action, we don't mean that we change it or improve it. Rather, we mean that we secure a verdict for it. We vindicate it. So what is biblical justification then? Let's talk about it, and then we'll talk about where it comes from. Here's what it is. You can write this in the blank on your sheet. Justification, however you want to write it, is an instantaneous act by God whereby he legally declares, so there's that legal word, he legally declares a sinner with a righteous standing before him based on the work of Christ. What is justification? Well, it's that one-time act. It's where God legally declares that a guilty sinner is righteous in his sight because of what Jesus has done on the cross. But I don't know about you. Maybe you've got that all down, but all of a sudden, questions start to pop up in my head, right? Why? How? I mean, how do I get that, right? Does he just declare everybody righteous and so we're all going to spend eternity with him? Are we universalists? No. What is that then? So let's walk through it. The first question we want to answer is that God, sorry, let me see where I'm at here. Okay, yeah, there's another definition. We won't worry about that. I don't have time. Okay. Justified, God offers, we accept. Let's talk about why God justifies. God justifies because of his grace. So what is the reason for which God justifies the sinner? Why? I mean, why would God declare a guilty sinner as righteous? Why? Because of his grace. So if you have a Bible, you can go to Romans chapter 3. This is, if you're wondering what the Bible says about justification, Paul has laid it out for us in this chapter in a very, very clear way. So why does God justify? Because of his grace. Romans 3:24 says, we are justified by his grace as a gift. So this good, just God requires righteousness. And this gracious, giving God provides righteousness. He requires it and he provides it because no one can declare themselves righteous, right? You can't sit outside the courtroom, come up with a good enough excuse and say, I've got it together. No, no. We have sin. We must be justified and we can't justify ourselves. And God offers it as a gift. Grace is one thing, but justification is another, right? So grace is one thing, but really, like, actually justifying someone is another thing. So does God just ignore our sins? Does he just sweep them under the rug and kind of close his eyes and act like everything's okay? No, God does not just forget our sins. He doesn't just throw it out like we've never done them. He actually does something else. Look at this quote up here on the screen. Justification is not a synonym for amnesty. It's not a synonym for freedom, which strictly is pardon without principle. So lest we think that grace is just God has no principles, he just forgives whoever. No, he doesn't even forget. Wrongdoing, he declines to bring it to justice. No, he doesn't do those things. No, justification is an act of justice, of gracious justice. How? How? Your next blank. God offers justification by his blood. By his blood. So how is God both gracious and justice? Well, he offers Jesus. How does God require and provide it? He doesn't simply overlook our sins. Remember, this is a legal transaction that takes place. He offers Jesus' blood. You see, the law says that someone must die. There must be a penalty. In fact, there's a double penalty. And Jesus comes and justifies by his blood for that penalty. What's the double demands? Well, as his creatures, God requires perfect obedience. But as transgressors, because we've broken his law, he requires penalty. The beauty of justification is that he offers both of those in Jesus. We are justified through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward. Jesus is our justification because of his blood. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he fully obeyed every demand of the law. He legally kept every demand. And then also, he legally bore its punishment. God, by Jesus' blood, offers justification to you. Then how do we make it ours? What is the channel by which we accept this as our own? Well, the channel is we accept it by faith. We accept, we believe, we hold on, we trust. We say, that is true, God. You've offered that to me. Now I cling to it with everything that I have. When we think about faith, faith is not anything in and of ourselves. It's not by works that we have done. Faith is not a work. Faith is us simply holding on to the thing that will save us. Faith is us holding on to Jesus. So lest we think that somehow there's something in us that grabs onto God and that's what saves us. No, it's the fact that we grab onto the one who saves. Look at this quote. God doth justify the believing man, yet not for the worthiness of his belief, but for his worthiness who is believed. Romans 3 again, there's that passage. We are justified by his grace as a gift to be received by faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. We cannot claim any work of our own. It is simply that we hold on to Jesus' work. It is through faith that we are justified. And the last blank there on that point is that God offers justification in Christ. In Christ. Which is the beautiful part. This is where we'll finish. So justification is that one-time act of God where he declares the guilty sinner righteous based on what Jesus has done, right? But the other thing about it is that this justification brings us into Jesus. You see, Galatians, in the context of justification here in chapter 2, Paul says this, we've been crucified with Christ, yet it's not us who live, but Christ who lives in us. So what does justification do? Justification both declares us righteous before God, but it places us into union with Jesus. It brings us into where Jesus was perfect. We are brought into union with that. So what is it? Justification is that we are united with Christ in his work. So no longer will we be treated as that guilty sinner. We will only be treated as Jesus. No longer will you be treated as that one who has done wrongs. No, if you trust by faith alone in Jesus Christ and his offering, you are justified, which means that you will only be treated as God treats Jesus. That's your next blank. We are declared as righteous as Jesus. It is a one-time act. It happens, it's there, it's done. You are forever declared as righteous as Jesus is. You will not be treated like a sinner. Although you will sin, you will not be treated like a sinner. It doesn't remove our sins. It simply says, you are as righteous as Jesus in God's eyes. So we go back to Luther, and with this we'll close. Luther, after saying, love God, I hate him, he said, when I found this righteousness that was outside of me, I felt as if I was reborn and to have gone through open doors into paradise. That's awesome. So therefore, then he was able to say, we are simul justus et peccator. All right, Latin students, you ready for this? Simultaneously. Simultaneously just and, peccator, that's a tough one. You ever heard of impeccable? Impeccable would be without sin, so peccable would be with sin. So we are simultaneously both just and sinner because it doesn't depend on us. It depends on Jesus. So when we struggle, we by faith continue to stand, your last blank, as righteous as Jesus. That is justification. We are declared as righteous as Jesus, but we stand as righteous as Jesus. I wonder, have you been justified? Have you? Has there been a moment where you said, by faith alone, because I can't justify myself, by faith alone, through grace alone, I hold on to the offering of Jesus on the cross for me? If you have, do you live like it? Simultaneously just and sinner, realizing that your only hope is found in the fact that you have been justified. That's justification.